Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. It is the 21st of September.
Yes, that's why.
Do you remember?
Yeah, that's why I requested the song. We used to be able to play this because the Chiefs were September darlings, but now that they've won, we can't. So now this is really the only time that it's appropriate on the 21st day of September.
I was watching that game yesterday, and there was just a sense of inevitability that they were going to come back and win. I mean, they were looking awful. And I was just like, they're going to come back and win. They'll flip the switch. They'll come back and win. God, I hate that.
Yeah.
I got to ask, by the way. I got to ask before we go any further.
Yeah. Go ahead, ask.
You and Tom Brady this weekend.
Yes.
You worked the Tampa game, Tampa, Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So you'll be working Tampa and the Broncos this week. So 2 weeks in a row with Tom.
I had
up in that dimple and take a little nap.
I got to tell you, I've got a lot of Carolina. I had to shut my Twitter feed. I had a lot of Carolina fans not happy about
really.
Yeah,
you don't say.
Yeah, just about why do you hate us so bad? Are you sleeping with Tom Brady? Yeah, a lot of that.
Uh huh.
So,
I love Tom Brady. Did you two, form a connection?
We did.
Did he have you over to the house? Did Giselle make you and, he dinner?
No. That part did not happen. I'm sure he wanted to invite me, but all the COVID testing and the COVID rules and stuff, prohibited, that. But, he was very insightful. Great conversation. He's a fascinating dude, man. Really a fascinating dude. And, you're going to get to see him firsthand. He's never really played well here.
Nope.
But that was, during the Shanahan years and the Kubiak years. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what this team, it's like, as much as we make, and this is an offensive driven league, right? So we always make a big deal out of the offense and rightfully so. That's what people follow. It's all fantasy football. I'm going to tell you right now, all three levels of Tampa's defense, they remind me of a team that has the potential to go on a run and have one of those 2013 Legion of Boom type of years, 2015 no fly zone type of years.
Really? You compare it with the Broncos of 2015?
Well, a lot of man coverage. And they just can pressure you. They've got great edge presence. They've got backers who can fly. Like they are all three levels of their defense. The defense isn't the same. I'm not comparing the defense. I'm just comparing the talent level and what they have an ability to do. Number one run defense in football last year, and they're probably number one right now as well. They're a stout group, man. A really stout group.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to look ahead to that. Tom Brady versus Jeff Driskel. Do not know how long Drew Locke will be out. We'll get more clarity on that after he has an MRI later today. Same thing with Cortland Sutton with a knee injury that the Broncos are concerned about. They're already without Von Miller. So are we now at a point? I got a lot of this yesterday. I saw a lot of this, the reaction after the game. A lot of moral victory stuff out there. A lot of, hey, they fought hard.
Right.
Hey, with all the injuries and adversity, they still battled. This team has a bright future. It may not be this year, but bright future down the road. So are we at a point now where the Broncos are about moral victories? And are you okay with that?
No, there's no moral victories. You're supposed to fight hard. Isn't that part of the equation? Shouldn't that be the character and the culture of your team to fight hard, to play hard until the end?
Yeah, but not everybody does that in pro sports.
Well, sure.
I think the Jets are fighting hard right now.
Fighting hard to get their coach dumped.
struggling.
Right?
Right?
Okay, so it's not automatic.
Right. No, you're right. But it should be automatic here. So, I mean, it should be.
But is that what this season has now become? It's about working hard, trying hard, and developing players for next year and beyond.
You said something.
I almost get the sense that a lot of Bronco fans are prepared to turn the page on this year. From a expectation standpoint, not from following them, but from an expectation standpoint.
You said something that was interesting.
Okay? Oh, thank you. What was it?
Before we went to break, you said, I was watching that game, Kansas City, L.A. Chargers, and I just knew something good was going to happen. The difference between watching Kansas City and watching the Broncos is I just know Kansas City's going to make something happen. And you watch the Broncos, and I just know they're going to let something slip through the cracks.
That's obvious.
I mean, doesn't that encapsulate these two teams? You know, I mean, when Cowherd comes out and the national media is talking about speed and receivers and this, that, and the other, and everybody is excited and Elway's on the grand media tour and it's all lollipops and rainbows and we're going to win and Drew Locke is great. They built the offense around Drew Locke and all this malarkey. You know, all these pipe dreams that everybody was, you know, buying into, they just find a way on a week-to-week basis, whether it's the defense or whether to make one or two plays too few.
So why is that? Is it they just have a bad culture? Is it poor coaching? Is it just ultimately a lack of talent? Because you're right. I mean, they're 0-2 and two games against two teams that easily could be in the playoffs this year. I think both teams will be in the playoffs this year. They're right there at the end. So why'd they lose them?
Right. Well, I think it's a couple things. I think it's like, I think the guys are playing hard. That's good. It's a great sign. Guys are playing hard. Guys are committed to being professionals. That's a good thing. Like, I'm good with that. I would say this. One, what is your identity? You know, I talked to you about this whole offseason about continuity. And you're like, continuity's not. It is important. It's important to have continuity from a coaching standpoint. It's important. Like, I was talking to Tom Brady. Tom Brady said to me, he goes, listen, man, for 20 years, I was married to one organization. And it's like I got divorced and I'm supposed to know the new organization within 6 weeks. He goes, I don't. I don't know the origin of plays. I don't know why we call them. And I'm inquisitive. I want to know why. How did we get to this? What did it come off of? What does it stem from? Like, I want to know the in-depth knowledge so that my receiving corps and I can, at the top of routes, feel and see the same things and adjust them. So continuity is important. You know, Tom goes, he's like, Mark, he goes, what's different? Like, would you rather play by a guy that you played by for 4 years or for 4 weeks? You know, there's the nonverbal communication where you can just look at a guy and you know, you see the defense, you just know what you're doing. Like, that stuff doesn't exist. And then I think the other part, Mike, is, again, and I'll talk about, you know, what you've done from a building your team. You don't have enough depth. And, you know, we've looked at, hey, inside linebacker, speeded inside linebacker, cornerback. What are you doing with the cornerback? I mean, they attacked Ojemudia. Of course they're going to attack him. He's young, right? They attacked him yesterday, and they torched him. You know, offensive line, I've been banging my drum. Nobody hears it. Nobody wants to hear it because they're so enamored by speed.
Tackled by Bulls.
Well, you get what you get.
Four down territory coming up at 7:30. Troy Rank at 7:45. Up next, what does a long-term injury to Drew Locke mean? Does it open the door for the Broncos to go in a different direction at quarterback? And did the Nuggets lose their only chance to win the series last night. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
We await news as to how long Drew Lock is going to be out. And Mark, do the Broncos run, I guess, the risk of, or does Drew Lock run the risk of being out long enough that it opens the door to the Broncos looking at their quarterback situation moving forward entirely differently?
Certainly. I mean, meaning if you come out of this thing and you can't go on the road and beat the Jets and you can't beat Miami here at home and you're all of a sudden 0-6 and you're like, hey, Drew, just take your time getting healthy. We're 0-6. We're in a world of hurt right now.
With the idea that, hey, there's no need to rush back. This season's going down the toilet. We want you healthy for next year. Or when I say, does that open the door for something different? Meaning, hey, look, we ended up in a situation where it ended up being so bad that we're in a position to look at
right.
the quarterback situation differently.
Yeah, that you could be very high up on in the pecking order of bad teams. Do I think you're the worst team in football? No, I don't think you're the worst team in football.
To get Trevor Lawrence, for those who are saying, and we're getting a bunch of these on the text.
Yeah, tank for
Trevor. Yeah. Okay. In order to get Trevor Lawrence, you're going to have to be the worst team in football. Because if you are the second worst team in football, the worst team in football's not going to trade with you. Because this guy is regarded, this is not Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz,
right.
Baker Mayfield,
yes.
Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. These are all guys that got drafted because the financial rules changed and you no longer have to pay quarterbacks the exorbitant salaries you used to have to, guaranteed, as rookies. Those guys would not get drafted under the old rules. Cool. Trevor Lawrence would. Okay, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect, the most widely viewed, everybody agrees, prospect since Andrew Luck. So if you want to get Trevor Lawrence, you have to be the worst team in football. As bad as things are for the Broncos right now, do you see any possibility they could be the worst team in football?
Unless the worst team in football is sold on their guy.
No, the worst team in football will not be sold on their guy.
So...
Let's say it's the Jets.
Okay, well, see, that's exactly right. Where I was going.
You think they're
going
to still stick with Sam Darnold if they end up being the worst team in football?
Well, the Jets are that
struggling.
Dumb.
After 3 years?
They're that dumb.
Nah, right? They're not that dumb.
They're that dumb.
They're not that dumb.
They are that dumb.
They're not that dumb.
They, trust me. Like, they didn't build anybody around him. So I could see the Jets being, hey, it's the coach, and hey, he's a really, like, I could see them being where you might be able, they could say, hey, we're going to get a haul, and we're going to get the weapons around Sam Darnold. We like Sam Darnold. We're going to get the weapons around him, then we're going to be fine. They could be
that
dumb.
You're going to sell that to the New York fan base and New York media. No way. No way.
You sold Adam Gase?
Doesn't matter. No.
You sold?
No. No.
Okay. I will give you this. I think it's highly unlikely, but I think it, okay. What about Detroit?
See you, Matthew Stafford. There was rumblings of them trading Matthew Stafford this offseason.
Okay. That was a bad one.
Wait.
Now I got to pull up my, okay. Our lads. Here we go.
Giants. Daniel Jones.
Giants. Oof.
See ya.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
They're not getting rid of Burrow.
No.
Burrow looks good, but they're going to win some games.
I mean, all the 0-2 teams. Carolina?
No.
No.
Wow.
So you're going to have to be the worst team in football. So that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Is that can you see this thing going so south that they end up the worst? And by the way, to be the worst team in football, you're probably going to have to be what?
2-14, 2-13, 3-13, something like that.
I mean, 4-12 won't get you the worst record in football.
No. That's there might be some light at the end of that cave. By the way, I don't like to bring things up when, you know, it's self-serving. You know, I'm not that way.
No, you're not about you.
No. Do you remember this offseason when I said that the Denver Broncos of 2020 looked a whole lot like the Cleveland Browns of 2019? Tell me why I'm wrong. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oof. Woof.
Yeah, but the difference with the Browns is that they didn't have these kind of rash of injuries. Their guys just underperformed. Baker Mayfield didn't get hurt.
No.
I don't think OBJ got hurt, did he?
My point was
they just underperformed.
Talent, can't block anybody. That was kind of what turned their, and their coach. Not putting Baker in the best positions to win, you know, wearing the Pittsburgh started it shirt, Freddie Kitchens. Like, it just was, again, something was not in sync there. So, just an observation.
More than likely, you're not going to be bad enough to be able to get Trevor Lawrence. So you know what you do? You hope that Drew Lock can come back with enough time left in the season to get enough out of this season that you can really get the sense that he is
right
moving forward.
If it's six games, Mike, he's coming back for with 8 games left to play. So he would have played, you know, a game and, you know, half a dozen plays or whatever it was. And then he would have, you know, then he played theoretically 8 games.
And then along the way, while that's happening, you hope that your young players play well and get a lot of experience and you develop a bit of a culture. Shelby Harris, interestingly enough, said after the game, we got to change the culture around here. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
When you got a guy that's been around here for a while saying, we don't have a good culture around here, that's not good.
No, it's not.
That's not good.
It is a bad sign. It's a bad omen. Really bad omen.
All right. We're getting tons of reaction. Well, would the Vikings ditch Kirk Cousins? They're 0-2. And yes, they would.
Yeah.
Would they? We're fixing to find out.
Yeah, we're fixing to find out.
With Coops. All right, 4-down territory is coming your way next. And some wild games yesterday. We'll go into the Denver game. But did we see the changing of the guard already with the Chargers? That's next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is 4-down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arm.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Fred. First down.
As a backup quarterback, it's my job to be ready at all times. You never want to see your guy go down. But at the end of the day, that's my job to be ready to go and prepared all week. And, you know, my job is to give the team a chance to win, and we didn't do that. So got to make a couple more plays here or there, and maybe it's a different ballgame.
Hey, considering he probably got 0 first-team reps, boy, who knows how many he even got during training camp. What did you think of Jeff Driscoll's emergency performance yesterday?
I thought, I mean, not only that, I mean, he's under duress the entirety of the game. Six sacks, a bunch of hits. I thought that Jeff Driskel, had a good showing. A really good, for him, good showing.
All right, so if he's the quarterback for the next 4 weeks, let's say.
Okay.
Can they go 2-2 without him? With him, right?
How about no?
Wait a minute, hold on.
Initially I would say no, but I see two games on that schedule that aren't exactly, stellar opponents. I see the Jets, and then I see Miami in the next four games. Can you compete with those two teams? Are you as good or better than those two teams? Well, I'd have to say, yeah, I think you've got to be pretty close.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Butker's kick is up. He lines it up. The kick is long enough. It is good! Harrison Butker, money, 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 penalty. Try to freeze him. He thaws the Chargers with a 23-20 walk-off 58-yard field goal, tying a Chiefs record, his own record that he tied earlier in the game.
Chiefs Radio. Such is the way with the Chiefs right now, man, that as bad as they play, and they play bad, Patrick Mahomes looked ordinary. He really did. But yeah, while all this was happening, I'm watching it, and I'm like, they're going to win. They'll flip the switch. They'll find a way.
Showtime!
Ugh.
Do you see that ridiculous throw he made? I think yes. Tyreek Hill scrambling to his right and just absolutely launching one. I mean, just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Meanwhile, the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor experienced breathing problems before the game. Justin Herbert got the surprise start. Anthony Lynn coming out afterwards saying, if Tyrod Taylor's 100%, he's still our starting quarterback. Did the Chargers put themselves in a position, not it wasn't their plan, but the way it worked out is the genie out of the bottle. Can you, especially since Herbert showed a couple of glimpses, a couple of flashes as to why he was drafted so highly?
No, I know. I mean, there seems to me to be a bit of a, a power struggle between Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco, their GM. And, as of right now, I think Tyrod Taylor is still going to be the guy because that's what Anthony's going to do. But eventually, will there be a power? Yeah, of course there's going to be a power struggle eventually. By the way, Justin Hebert said he found out about 5 to 10 seconds before the offense went on that he was going to start.
Seriously?
Yes. Because they said they took Tyrod Taylor to the hospital. He had some heart palpitations or something going on. Said about, they go, how much time did you know before you're going to start? Like, he goes, about 5 to 10 seconds.
You know what? That's probably the best thing.
Right.
No time to think.
No time to think. Just go out and play.
Over the last two seasons, the Chiefs are 6-0 when they fall behind by 10 or more points with Mahomes at quarterback.
Man.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Left side, Newton's going to run the ball. He gets hit. He flipped up in the air. He doesn't get there. Clock ticks down. It's all zeros. What a play by the Seahawks defense. They throw their helmets. They are going nuts on the field.
Seahawks radio. Very entertaining Sunday night game. Seattle and New England go back and forth, and it's 35-30. After another curious, head-scratching, dumb offensive call by Pete Carroll that nearly blew the game, they stopped Cam Newton 1 yard from the end zone. A couple of takeaways. One, Russell Wilson, 5 touchdown passes. He's the best quarterback in the NFL, not named Mahomes, right?
We all agree with that? And I don't even know. I mean, maybe... I mean, is he right there with Mahomes?
No.
Dude, he's got to be. Right now he's fast-tracking as he's got to be fast tracking as the MVP after 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
If you
voted on it right now, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, Cam Newton looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
He looks healthy. He looks great running the football. But what was surprising to me was how well he threw the football yesterday.
Yeah.
These weren't all just dinks and dunks. The ball was going down the field.
Well, he's always had the ability to throw the deep ball well. And I've always thought that about him. It was the intermediate passes that were a little bit, you know, a little tough. But I'll tell you what, you talk about a quarterback starved league. How did that guy?
It's not a quarterback starved league because you have so many teams who overdrafted quarterbacks in the first round. There aren't any openings. All these teams are stuck with these quarterbacks that they spent high picks on, and they got to see it through.
Right.
Meanwhile, Cam Newton was 30 of 44 for 397 yards. He ran another 11 times. Boy, the Patriots aren't afraid to just use him up. We're going to ride you.
And, yeah,
You can hold up.
Right. It certainly doesn't seem as though they're worried about the long-term viability of Cam Newton being their starting quarterback.
No. Next in four-down territory.
Fourth down.
So the onside kick, Zuerlein dribbles it to the left, hadn't gone 10 yards. Big scramble for it as it has gone 10 yards. Cowboys think they got it.
I think they did.
I mean, that's not even possible anymore, is it?
Atlanta just let it roll and roll, and it went 10, and the Cowboys have the football.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
In front of 21,000 fans, Cowboys leading the NFL in attendance right now.
Right.
Explain something to me. As the receiving team on an onside kick, you are allowed to go out and touch the ball before it goes 10 yards, right?
Absolutely.
What a dump. Look, I know you like Dan Quinn, but you talk about a fireball offense that your team isn't prepared for something like that.
Right. He went for two that was botched.
Early.
He's like, on the game I called a week ago, I think he went for four fourth downs. I don't think he converted any of them. I mean.
So not only do the Falcons under Dan Quinn have to deal with the stench of blowing a Super Bowl in which they were up 28-3. Okay. Check this stat out. Stat of the year. The Falcons become the first team since 1933.
Oh no.
To lose a game despite scoring 39 points and having zero turnovers. Up until Sunday, teams that had scored 39 points and had zero turnovers were 440-0.
So you're telling me that Dan Quinn's number one?
Yep.
I'm telling you what.
Wow.
If you if you started a hot seat on week two.
Yep.
Dan Quinn.
Yep. Adam Gase.
Who else would be on the hot seat?
Mike Zimmer?
I don't think Mike Zimmer. I think they just extended him.
Did they?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be on it. But
Matt Patricia.
Patricia would.
Yeah, most definitely.
Bill O'Brien. Yeah, Bill O'Brien. I think Patricia's the first team to have double-digit leads in four straight games and lose all of them.
Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson. There's no shortage of teams with coaches already.
Rick Fangio.
What?
Hey,
we need continuity. All right. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank joins us next. Can the Broncos survive this rash of injuries? And did the Nuggets lose their best chance to win this series last night? Troy joins us next. All right, let's say good morning to our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Ranke, is presented by Tranny Law. Troy, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
A little bit disappointed in the debacle that was that game. And boy, there's a lot of people out here saying, hey, they played hard and they were close and, you know, they kept it close. Is there anything you take out of the game that's sunshine for you? I mean, anything that you take out that's a positive?
Well, I mean, Jeff Driscoll played way better than I expected. He's the second quarterback in Broncos history to not start a game and have 250 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he played surprisingly well. That said, at the goal line twice, there were sequences he wanted back. It's, you know, even the last one, Edmonds was blitzing. It was a hot read, and he didn't see him, and ended up ending their last play of the game offensively with a sack. So, I mean, he competed better than I thought, given what I had seen in training camp, because he dealt with wild bouts of inaccuracy during training camp. And so you were worried what it would look like when he went in. So I'd say that. Justin Simmons played much better in week two. He led them in solo tackles, had a pick, two passes defensed. But, you know, again, the players on the team are just tired of talking about moral victories. They're tired of talking about injuries. So, I mean, I could tell you there were some few things that happened well, but overall they just continue to make just enough mistakes to lose games.
Well, what are you hearing about Drew Lock and Cortland Sutton? Time frames, severity, all of that.
Well, in Drew Lock's case, he clearly hurt his right shoulder. To what extent, we don't know. The MRI will determine that. You know, is it just a sprained shoulder? I mean, initially, there's a shoulder injury that prevented him from being able to throw and return to a game. So that's known. And Drew was in a sling yesterday on the Zoom call when we interviewed him, talking to sources about it. They're, you know, of course they're concerned. They're going to look to see if there's any kind of labrum issue, a labral tear, or if there's a rotator cuff contusion, both of which would, you know, likely indicate a lengthy absence. If it's just a shoulder sprain, you know, it's easy for me to say it's not my shoulder. Maybe that's a couple of weeks. If you start dealing with a labrum or a rotator cuff, I mean, you're talking about several weeks. So the MRI is important. Sutton hurt his knee, and to what extent, they don't know. The MRI will show that. Obviously, it was bad enough for him not to return to the game. He only played 31 snaps, and so there's concern on both ends, Mike. You know, based on how every reading of an MRI has gone this year, outside of Philip Lindsay's turf toe, it seemed like it's hit worst case scenario. So there's concern, and we'll know more later today. But both are going to miss some time. The expectation is both will miss some time.
Concern with the offensive line. Lloyd Cushenberry got spun like a top on a bunch of plays where he gave up pressures. He gave up hits and sacks. 19 hits, I believe, 7 sacks. Obviously, Elijah Wilkinson was just beyond bad. What are they going to do? Are they going to go to Dotson? What do they have a plan over there?
Well, that's going to be a question today. Asking a head coach after a game without film, they always say, well, I have to look at the film. One of the questions to Vic Fangio today will be, are you going to reevaluate or reassess it? Right tackle. Wilkinson did not play well. I mean, he was on skates. Now, I'm sure there's some context with them to say, hey, this is Pittsburgh, and they might have the most aggressive defense in the NFL. And T.J. Watt's certainly a defensive player of the year candidate. Bud Dupree is an emerging star. But that said, you can't have 19 quarterback hits. I mean, that starts getting into the range of Wade Phillips' defense against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you cannot have your quarterback get hit that many times, or in this case, quarterbacks, plural. I do believe they're going to have to at least look at it and see, is Dotson a better option, or do they need to spell Wilkinson and see what that would look like if it's a series or two, to see if they can find a better combination. Cushenberry's going to have days like this as a rookie. And I know, Mark, you talk about once you're out there, you got to play. You do, but they're going to have to deal with some growing pains. And I think in some cases they'll say it's Pittsburgh, but in some cases we've seen these trends for, you know, way back in training camp with Wilkinson, that he's struggling at times. And yesterday he was really dealing with some issues. Either that, Mark, if they keep him over there, they're going to have to protect him more with a tight end or chipping from the back, because you can't have, now with Driscoll playing, him taking free shots and, you know, down to your third string quarterback. Like, that's, they're going to have to protect better, even if it's just your scheme.
Nikola Jokic said there was a miscommunication on how the Nuggets covered Anthony Davis on that final play. Is it Mason Plumlee's fault from your vantage point?
Well, when I was sent a video last night on Twitter where Jeremy Grant talks to Plumlee before the play, says something like, give me help here, and because Grant's on LeBron. And he clearly says something to Plumlee, like, I need help here or switch or whatever it was. There was communication. But when the play started, LeBron never left. Usually in those cases, you know, from my years of coaching basketball and certainly my son playing forever, is that you only need help if there's a screen coming. There was no screen, and he allowed AD to go free to the side. That the only way that Plumlee would go help there is if there was some kind of back screen or movement that indicated help. So they both just ran to a stationary player. Or excuse me, Grant stayed there, and Plumlee ran right to LeBron and just stayed there. It was the oddest thing I've ever seen. So I'm sure Jokic is, you know, he's protecting that miscommunication between Grant and Plumlee is what it looked like. Because nowhere would you just leave their second best player in Davis for a free look. Even though it's LeBron, I understand that. But you can't go to LeBron without movement. You literally ran to him. You've got to react to him's movement, not just run over to him and stand. So just it's almost like watching a Broncos game where one mistake, you're like, oh, my word, did that just happen?
Yeah.
And credit to Davis, he nailed. That wasn't an easy shot, but you cannot let him get that open of a look on the entry pass.
Well, one thing that we have learned here over the course of these playoffs with the Nuggets and in the bubble is they certainly have developed a really good culture where they trust one another and they continue to fight. Shelby Harris actually mentioned the culture and the issues that the Broncos have right now. What is it about this team that they can't seem to find a way, you know, to win tight games, to win the tough ones, to find a way to make a play in the end when it actually counts?
Well, in some cases, it's talent. You know, the other team's better than them. So we talk about, oh, they're only a few plays away. Well, when you're consistently a few plays away, sometimes the other team is better. They just are, and you don't execute in these situations because the other team is better than you. In some cases, it's mental mistakes. The timeout with Vic Fangio in the first game, and, you know, you get exposed with Ojemudia. If you want to just pick out two mistakes, he had a pick that would have ended a drive, and he got beat on an 84-yard touchdown that may or may not have been interference. I thought there might have been, but they're just not good enough to overcome mistakes like that where you missed preventing the touchdown, and then you allow a touchdown. You can overcome not getting off the field on third down a couple of times. But it's the big mistakes, Mark, and that they just can't get over the hump with that, where it's that one play that at the goal line or an interception, or that's what they've got to find a way where one guy steps up and makes the play to save it. They just haven't. They haven't. They've come close. But I guarantee, in talking and texting with a few players, they're frustrated about talking about close losses. They're just frustrated, and, you know, and they're compromised by injury right now. But nobody wants to use that as an excuse. But, I mean, here's where they are. The schedule did them no favors. They play a couple of tough teams that are playoff teams. Tampa Bay should be a playoff team. And there's just no margin for error. You come out of the season playing three teams bound for the playoffs, and you make mistakes to put yourself in position to lose. I mean, it's just that simple. And I don't think it's a culture issue in that regard. In some cases, it's a talent issue. In some cases, it's just, can one guy, like we saw with Jamal Murray, it seemed like there was an issue in the bubble for the Nuggets, and one guy decided, I'm not going home. Can the Broncos have that, where one guy makes a play in the defining moment where you win the game? And they just have not been able to do that the last 2 years.
Troy, so much ground to cover with you. Last question for you. It's a biggie. Did Nolan Arenado wear a Rockies uniform at Coors Field for the last time yesterday?
I'd say possibly. It's hard to say how they're going to view the context of the 60-game season. He might be done for this year because of a shoulder issue. They might shut him down. But do they view this 60-game snapshot as, hey, this isn't working moving forward? And if they view it that way, where they feel for sure he's going to opt out, then they would have to look seriously to trade him this offseason, because they can't wait, go into next season and trade him at the deadline, where it would just completely minimize the return you would get in any kind of deal. So I'd say possibly. This season doesn't help because it's really just a continuation of last year. And Nolan didn't have a good year. There's no defending that in that regard. But I'd take him any day, every day, as my third baseman.
Yeah, well, he is that. He's great there, but boy, the Rockies are just a mess. Hey, Troy, thank you, man. You know what? So are the Broncos at this point. We got several messes going on.
Yeah, we got
here.
A lot of messes to clean up.
We got to clean some messes up. Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Question mark coming up in just a couple of minutes.
and we got a lot of texts that we want to react to. I'll give you an early question mark. It's from Asman. Asman is back.
Oh, Asman.
Wow. With every other team in town, it's no injury excuses. Stop with the pathetic injury excuses. But as soon as it's the Broncos, it's should we just start counting moral victories with all these injuries? Classic Evans hypocrisy. Whoa. I'm not handing out participation ribbons. Now, if you listen to, you know, state-sponsored Bronco radio, you get a lot of that. Even some folks here, Zach, was kind of touting the, hey, wow, with all these injuries, you know, the reason I don't excuse injuries is because if you've done such a poor job of roster building that you don't have the kind of backups to be able to turn to, I don't want to hear about injuries because you had a chance over the last several years to build up your roster so that if you had injuries, you'd be better prepared to play when guys went down or do a better job of roster building so that some of these injuries don't occur in the first place. So no, I'm not. I don't blame officiating. I don't blame injuries. I hate that. And I hate the idea that we're settling into a Broncos season that's 2 weeks old. And for the rest of the season, it's going to be about, hey, let's play the kids. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, week two.
And it's all about, you know, 2021 or 2022 with this group. Ugh. Hate it. Hated it for years with the Rockies, Nuggets, and Avalanche. I'm not going to go down that road now with the Broncos.
Let me tell you, like, there's a couple things here. I get it if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you lose Tom Brady, right? And Blaine Gabbert's coming in as your backup. Like, that's tough, but I understand, you know, that because how dominant the quarterback position is in the NFL. But I have said this for several years now. One, you don't have enough depth on this team. This team doesn't go deep enough, and so you can't overcome some of those injuries. And two, why are you not investing in an actual legit backup veteran quarterback? Hey, Jeff Driscoll's nice, right? You know who's out there for about $3 million on the open market last offseason? Andy Dalton. He's playing for the Cowboys. Incentive-laden deal. If Dak gets hurt, you know, he could make up to $7 million. Why we don't do that here? Why John Elway is adverse to having a veteran set of eyes that started a lot of games, that's a real, like, that's an outstanding kind of Pro Bowl caliber in his heyday type quarterback, but we won't do it. Ever. You know who was you know who the backup was to Jeff Driscoll yesterday? Royce Freeman. I mean, again, this has been my problem. The roster building, the lack of legitimate drafting, the not taking care of the line of scrimmage. You know, all these things that we talk about, Mike, or that I talk about on a consistent basis. That everybody just goes, oh, stink, you're just cranky, oh, you just don't like, you know, blah, blah, or you just are this, or you just are that, right? You just won't admit that the speed is great and that we're gonna, you know, I just understand how this game works. And if you can't win up front, both in run and pass, you can't win. It's as simple as that. If you can't win on the LOS, both defensively and offensively, you can't win.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.